नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 10.
Nahyasya asti priyah kaschin, na priyah svah paropiva, ekah sarvadhyam drashta, कर्त्रीणां गुणदोषयोः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। फॉर दिस लिविंग एंटिटी नो वन इज डियर नॉर इज एनी वन अनफेवरेबल। ही मेक्स नो डिस्टिंक्शन बिटवीन दैट विच इज हिज ओन एंड दैट विच बिलोंग्स टू एनी वन एल्स। He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief-mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has them in minute quantities because he is a small particle, sukshma, whereas the Supreme Lord is all-pervading and great. For the Supreme Lord, there are no friends, enemies or relatives, for he is completely free from all the disqualifications of ignorance that characterize the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he is extremely kind and favorable to his devotees. And he is not at all satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees. As the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostina priyah ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite deshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Lord has no enemy or friend, but is inclined toward a devotee who always engages in his devotional service. Similarly, elsewhere in the Gita 16:19, the Lord says, Tanaham dvishatah kruran samsareshu naradhaman Kshipami ajasram ashubhan asurishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The Lord is extremely antagonistic towards those who are envious of his devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill their enemies. For example, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill his enemy Hiranyakashipu, although Hiranyakashipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord. Since the Lord is a witness of everyone's activities, he witnesses the actions of the enemies of his devotees and is inclined to punish them. In other cases, however, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and gives the results of one's sinful or pious actions. Empowered by Narada Muni's blessings, this living entity, which was occupying the body of Maharaj Chitraketu's son, is now speaking very profound philosophy, which is causing removal of lamentation of Maharaj Chitraketu. That is the power of transcendental knowledge. Bhagavat mentions why Vyasadeva compiled this. श्रीमद् भागवतम्। यया सम्मोहितो जीवो आत्मानं त्रिगुणात्मकं परोपि मनुते अनर्थं तत्कृतं चाभिपद्यते। यया सम्मोहितो जीवो आत्मानं त्रिगुणात्मकं, आउट ऑफ बिविल्डरमेंट सम्मोहितो आत्मानं त्रिगुणात्मकं, ही थिंक्स दैट आई एम दिस बॉडी विच इज मेड ऑफ थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। परो अपि, ही इज नॉट दिस बॉडी मेड ऑफ द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर, बिकॉज द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर इन द बॉडी इज मेड अप ऑफ अपरा प्रकृति, अपरेयमितस्त्वन्यां प्रकृतिं विद्धि मे पराम। बट परोपि मनुते अनर्थम, बिकॉज ऑफ दिस अनर्थ और अनवांटेड थिंग, एंड व्हाट इज दैट अनवांटेड कंटेमिनेशन, देहात्म बुद्धि, ए पर्सन स्टार्ट थिंकिंग ऑन दिस बॉडी। यंत्रारूढ़ाणी माया, इट्स एक्चुअली अ व्हीकल। इफ ए मैन आइडेंटिफाइज विथ हिज कार, देन इज कंसिडर्ड मैड मैन, ही हैज टू बी सेंट टू ए मेंटल हॉस्पिटल। इफ ही सेज दैट आई एम दिस कार एंड यू नो कांट सेल दिस कार बिकॉज आई एम ऑल्सो सोल्ड अदरवाइज, वॉट एवर। But it's amazing how the living entity which is part of Krishna, Satchit Ananda, Chit means full of knowledge, is influenced by lower nature to think that I am this body. I am an Indian, I am a dog, I am a cat, I am whatever. It's amazing. It cannot happen actually. A lower energy cannot overpower. How it has happened? It's only by Krishna's will. Tava Ichha Mate Jive Srijana Samhar. Tava Ichha Mate Maya Srije Karaga. Because Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, Krishna empowers the material energy, which is actually lower energy, to overpower the superior energy, the marginal energy, that is the soul. And what is the result? The result is the pure emotions of the soul, the foundation of all that emotion is pure love for Krishna, is perverted into shoka, moha and bhaya, into lamentation, fear and illusion. Actually, emotions are natural for the living entity. Even Krishna has emotions. But those emotions are based on absolute truth. But when the same emotions are based on material conception, that results in all these negative emotions. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. This is all the same pure emotions now contaminated by the illusory energy. And the first installment of advancement is overcome the negative. At least come to the platform of neutrality. And then start positive emotions, positive activities, positive love. Knowledge means three things. Prabhupada very nicely explains. It's like we say, knowledge means you become, it's a science. Spirituality is a science. And who is a master of this science? Who has got his MSc degree? Master of science, right? MSc. That's a shortcut. Master of science. So who is a spiritually advanced person who has MSc degree? And this MSc stands for matter, spirit and controller of both. So he knows what is matter, he knows what is spirit, and he knows who is the controller of both. He is an MSc in spiritual technology. So the relationship between matter, spirit and the controller of both, that is the Paramatma, is actually the highest knowledge. Lack of this results in all these problems. Chakre Satvata Samhitam. Therefore, Bhagavatam was compiled. Shoka Moha Bhayapaha. To remove this unnecessary shoka, unnecessary bhaya. Fear comes when there is no knowledge. Wherever there is fear, it means there is no knowledge. Fear of unknown. When you know things, you are not fearful. I remember many years ago, as a child, I went to iron my clothes. And I came after a bath and straight away put the plug into. And I was thrown about 6 feet. Even today, in spite of knowledge, the conditioning is so strong. It's very difficult for me to go near the plug point and not get some emotions, negative emotions. So bhaya is because of ignorance. Then you understand, oh, because it was wet, the grounding was not there, and so many things. But everything was repaired, and then my father had to literally come and show, see, I'm doing it, see, nothing is happening, see, I'm touching. Then I said, you catch me first now, then I'll do it. Similarly, guru comes and see, he shows, and then you get confidence, and Mahajano yena gata sapantha. Then you gradually lose that fear. So, matter, spirit and controller of both. Anyone who knows this is actually, and this in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this point is very nicely explained. Of coming to this particular point. This is a neutral point. This point, name dveshyostina priya, as Krishna also says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyostina priya. Krishna is absolutely neutral. Because he is not contaminated by the three modes of nature. A person who is contaminated by the three modes of nature, it may seem to him that Krishna is partial. Krishna is envious. Krishna is not dear to someone. In fact, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning of 7th canto. Samam priyam suhrit brahman bhutanam. Samham. I have heard that Krishna is samam and priyam. Priyam means he is very dear to everyone. And everyone is dear to him. And suhrid is the well-wished. Krishna says clearly in the Gita, suhridam sarvabhutanam. I am the well-wishing friend. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in the purport writes, whoever is sama, why is there enviousness? Vaishamyam. If he is equal to everyone, why is he doing partiality? Why is he envious of someone killing the demons? Why does Lord Vishnu kill the demons? And if everyone is dear to him, priyam, why does he do some activity as if that person is apriya? Tanaham dushatah kruran samsareshu naradhaman kshipami ajasram ashubham asurishveva yonishu. I throw those rascals. I hate them. And I kick them so hard that it takes time, real great time for them to get up from that situation. They fall unconscious. You know, sometimes you kick someone, you fall unconscious. When Krishna kicks, real hard kick, and for many, many lifetimes you are unconscious of who you are. Like an amoeba, you are just thinking, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Forgot who you are. Biologically just doing the activities, that's all. Unconscious for millions of lifetimes. That's the way Krishna kicks. And still he says, I love you and kick. And another one he says, I love you and embraces. Both. He loves both. If he is loving, why does he kick so hard? For a lifetime this fellow goes unconscious. And Suhrid, if he is a well-wishing friend, why does he discriminate? Clearly, I mean, anyone who reads the Gita without hearing from parampara, without taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master as recommended by Krishna, is absolutely bewildered. Gita doesn't make sense. You may become more envious of Krishna. He does all this nonsense and everyone have to listen to him and surrender to him. People just can't understand. So Parikshit Maharaj asked this question. He says, I know, but I want reconfirmation from you. Please remove this doubt, because doubt is a demon. It can kill my Krishna consciousness if I don't address it satisfactorily. Remove it completely from the roots. Shoka, moha, bhaya, apaha. Pull it out. Just like this child pulled out by the mercy of Narada Muni, the illusion from the heart of Maharaj Chitraketu. Even so powerful was his transformation that even his wife and all of them who were enviously poisoned the child, even they became very transformed by the influence of this knowledge. So how do we understand? How do these contradictions get resolved? Krishna actually says that I am equal to samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti napriya. No one is equal to me. No one is favorable or unfavorable. Everyone is absolutely equal to me. And then he says, immediately in the same verse, not somewhere else in the Gita. This is the difficult part. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, maite teshu chapyaham. And one who worships me with love, I am theirs and they are mine. I mean, immediate contradiction. All contradictions are resolved in the absolute. It can only be resolved in the absolute. That he is partial and simultaneously impartial. Tad ejati tan nejati. Tad dure tadvantike. Tad antarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasyasya bahyata. This can only be understood by understanding the inconceivable power of the Lord. Advaya. Advaya. Advaya means non-different. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. Yat jnanam advayam. Only one who understands the inconceivable power of the Lord can actually all these contradictions be resolved fully. In fact, we can see the same thing even in a pure devotee of the Lord. The more we become pure, the qualities of Krishna manifest. Because we are part of Krishna, but minute in quantity. And therefore, we see in the lives of great souls who are equipoised. So, how do we understand this? It is said, the first thing they understand, from negative you come to neutrality. And after you come to neutral, the zero point, from there you move towards positive. It is described that, anyway, before that, what is the relationship? We have a body, and body is doing some actions. But actually, the body is not ours. It is provided by nature. Karmana daivane trena jantur deha upapattaye. According to our activities and according to our desires and how we have deserved, a suitable body is provided to the living entity. And what about the actions? Prakritehe kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. The actions are also moved by the three modes of nature. As we see that picture, three Matajis with saris, white, red, and blue, or yellow, red, and blue. That represents these three. Prakriti, because prakriti, why they are depicted as women? Because it's prakriti. And so she moves, prakritehe kriyamanani. They are moving and we are like dancing. Ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Out of foolish ignorance, out of false ego, thinking that I am this body, we think that we are the doers. So, actually, even material nature is not the doer. You are not the doer, that's for sure. Even material nature is not the doer. Because both are moved by Krishna. Then is Krishna the doer? Actually, he is also not the doer. Then excuse me, who is the doer? One time, one fellow asked this question. And I said, suppose you go out of this building and a taxi wala is just sleeping in the taxi after a hard day, and then you wake him up and you say, bhaiya, borivili chalo. Chalo beto. And he takes you to Borivali. And after you reach Borivali, you ask him, yahan kyun laya mere ko? Then he'll say, I think we have to take you to some other place, to a psychiatrist or something. So you told me, I was sleeping on Grand Road, you told me to take me to Borivali, and I have come, and you're asking me why I have come. Who is responsible? I asked this fellow, who is responsible for you to go to Borivali? The taxi is responsible, you are responsible, or the driver is responsible? Who is responsible? Initially he said, driver. Who said? They said, no. Taxi? Yeah, because without taxi, driver wouldn't have carried you like Hanumanji. Obviously. The taxi is responsible. No. He said, no, I am responsible because I told him. That yes, you are responsible. But actually Krishna says, you are also not responsible. Because it's the vehicle that carried you. It is the driver that drove you. Then actually who is responsible? It's actually the material desires of the living entity which Krishna is fulfilling through the taxi of the material body. And he drives as a super soul. Krishna says, Sarva sachaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir gyanam apohanam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. When we have material desires to fulfill, Krishna gives all the facility, the remembrance and the knowledge of all our desires. What all we wanted to fulfill. And we feel and we actually desire, and that desire is fulfilled. Even to fulfill that desire, the Lord is responsible. He is the driver. You can't drive. He is driving. So, neutral point is to come to the point of saying that no more asking Krishna to do all my nonsensical, fulfill all my nonsensical desires. That is jnana. Because I know all this material endeavor will ultimately prove futile. In and of itself, they can't solve the problems of life. Even taking shastric lessons, even following scriptures and trying to solve the material desires, they can't actually solve. So the neutral point is, we have to realize the super soul is controller of action. He is not the initiator of action. The initiator of action is us. He is only the controller of action. So first is, let go your control. I tried my best. I tried to solve my problems by adjusting the material nature, by adjusting my thinking process. But I have realized that nothing is working. Therefore, I give up. That is the beginning of Jnana Yoga. When a person is just raises his hand, finished. But then, you can't maintain the body without action. You have to work. You have to think. You have to desire, but that's nature of the soul. And therefore, you take shelter of the scriptures, which are the Lord's instructions, and the Guru, and the great sadhus, and mold your actions and desires simply according to His. Then those emotions, those actions, and those desires don't entangle. Just like a spider moves in the web without getting stuck. Similarly, alipta, brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiha, lipyatena sa papena padmapatram ivambasa. Such a person can become like that. How do we attain that neutral point? In the fifth chapter, this is very nicely explained in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is very nicely translated by Prabhupada as action in Krishna consciousness, because he gives the ultimate devotional purport to that. This is more of jnana, karma sannyas. Because Arjuna asks, one time you tell me to renounce action, and then you ask me to fight. I'm getting confused. Should I stop action or should I engage in action? He said, Krishna says, both are equally auspicious. Renounce your action, very auspicious, all your nonsense is stopped. Because the more arrows you shoot, you get entangled. The more you get entangled, you suffer in the cycle of birth and death. Stop. How is fighting auspicious? Because if you fight for me, then it is auspicious. If you fight for yourself, like Duryodhana, you're going to get entangled. So, doing nothing is better than doing nonsense. So don't get, fight, renounce. Just like a child is very mischievous. So the father asks him to sit facing the wall, touch the nose to the wall and just sit there, do nothing. That is a jnani. A karmi is a mischievous child running around, hurting himself and hurting others. And a jnani is who has stopped all nonsense, simply sitting at one place. Neti. Enough, because every time I do something, I get slapped by my father. Therefore, better to just face the wall and sit. Relief. Shanti. There is peace. Because there are no more slapping now. But that's not peaceful. Because the child by nature is active. He needs some engagement. Then the mother very mercifully engages him in some positive activity to assist her in the service to the father. That is Devi Maya. That is Srimati Radharani. That's devotional service. Okay, engage in some power. Anyway, you are nonsense, you are moving around. Let that energy be dovetailed for benefit of the father. So, mother engages us. Then that same Maya, Mahamaya, who is like the superintendent with a chastising rod, becomes the merciful Yoga Maya. So, how do we come to the platform of neutrality, first of all, from negativity? Actually, Krishna says, better than renouncing action is action on work in devotion. Why? Because inaction is not our natural constitutional position. We will fall down from that inaction. A child cannot sit facing the wall eternally. Because that's not the nature of a child. So this neutrality of jnanis, Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprashan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan, Swapan, Shasan, Pralapan, Visarjan, Grinhan, Unmishan, Nimishan, Napi, Indriyan, Indriyarteshu, Vartanta, Iti, Dharayan. Oh, the eyes are seeing, the ear is hearing, the nose is smelling, but I am not the body, I am not seeing, I am not hearing. Let the eye see anything, let the ear hear anything. I am completely aloof. How long can you sit? Vishwamitra sat like this for a long time. Saubari Muni sat like this for a long time. Nothing, I'm not the doer, but what is this two fish doing here? Got entangled because there was no positive engagement. So unless kama krishna karmarpane krodha bhakta dveshi jane lobha sadhu sange hari katha moha ishta labha vine mada krishna gunagane niyukta karive yatha yatha. Therefore he says work in devotion is better than renunciation of action because it can't sustain. It is easier to perform. It's natural for the child to just play around. It's his nature. So give him something positive activity. So he'll also be happy. It's easier for the child to play around and help the mother in her household chores rather than making him sit in one corner. Both are better than nonsense. But helping the mother is much better. That's what exactly Krishna says in the Gita. Sankhya yoga prathak balaha pravadanti avipashyata. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yah pashyati sa pashyati. Both are conducive in the sense that both are stopping the nonsense. But still, work in devotion is better than renunciation of action. Because it is easier to perform and it purifies us gradually. Gradually the child learns. He gets appreciation, positive appreciation. Oh, you did so, you cleaned up this place. Very nice. He gets appreciation. He won't get appreciated if he sits there touching his nose to the wall. Of course, appreciation, at least you didn't do any nonsense. But better than that is appreciation. Oh, very nice, you're doing something positive. And there is less chance of fall down. If he's engaged in positive activity, there's no chance of going towards negative. Because his mind is absorbed. His senses are absorbed. But when he's sitting there silently, his mind and senses are restless. Though externally, shanti. He's sitting there. But if you x-ray the mind of the child, it's full of activity. Just like sometimes, one time we went to Banganga. We saw these ducks, you know. They are crystal clear, smooth water. And the ducks are floating like this. Paramahamsa. But if you just watch inside the water, they are moving their legs, anything to remain like that. Externally, they look floating around like this, gracefully. But watch their feet, their webbed feet, which is full of action, just to remain moving like that. Similarly, for a jnani, shushka jnani, externally, shanti, shanti. But internally, his mind is restless because the nature of the soul is to be active. And he's just flapping around. But somehow he has, it's underwater, no one sees. But once when it comes up, then you can see. Turn the duck upside down. That is a devotee. If you turn the duck upside down, that is a devotee. Outside, all activity is going on, but inside, peacefully moving. Sashanti madhigachati. The last sloka of second chapter. Last, he says, all the apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram apah pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mapnoti na kama kami. So, externally he's active, he's running around, Arjuna shooting arrows on the battlefield. But deep inside there is ultimate peace. Not just peace, bliss of service to Krishna. Nothing of this world, at that time, heat or cold, happiness or distress, honor or dishonor, I go on beating my leg, that's all. But inside, there is ultimate peace. Because I am completely sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, for those who are attached to this world, karma is recommended. Act to purify your desires. So, it is described by Krishna to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. He says, Uddhav, karma is recommended for those who are kami. Those who have a lot of material desires, at least regulate it. Don't become unregulated. You have lusty desires, okay, get married and settle down. Don't be loitering around with everyone else. There is no end to this. You have greed, okay, you earn a lot of wealth, but following these rules. Never compromise on these principles. Then whatever you get, you enjoy. But simultaneously, don't be attached. Ma phaleshu kadachan. If you are not attached, where will you work? The motivation. And for those who have, because the karmis, they don't know anything about the spiritual world. They don't know anything beyond the creation, what is there. Their whole absorption is this material world. They want to promote themselves to Swargaloka. They want to go to higher and higher realms, just like people want to move from a lower environment in Bombay city or that kind of suburb area to the main area, to main area to some posh area. From posh area, they want to move, but permanently settle in Bombay only, because I love Bombay. Similarly, they love this material world, but simultaneously they are kicked, so they want to move to a better position. Therefore, at least work piously. But then for those who have realized, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna, I have tasted it all, I have seen it all, I have done it all, at least I have heard it all. The people who did it all, seen it all, did it all, they are miserable. Why should I again do that which is already there? So they are knowing that topmost Brahmaloka down to the Patala, it's all a place of misery, it's Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. But they are not aware of positive transcendence. Urdhamoolam Adhashakham. They are disgusted with the reflection, but they don't know that reflection means a positive object is there. Because they don't believe in the personality of Godhead. So for that kind of Brahman souls, Vimukta Maninaha, they think they are liberated and they are peaceful. But nature of the soul is restless. Externally they are trying. Intellectually they have understood. Even all of us know. Intellectually we are convinced that this material world is useless. But still, there is a desire to enjoy. Though we may subdue it and push it down for a long time, but that pressure is building up. Because every time we engage in material activity, we are feeding those desires. And the more we feed, the urge increases. And therefore, for them, jnana is recommended. Neti, not this. Not this, but do what? For those who believe in transcendence, positive activity, positive name, positive form, positive quality, positive activity, positive abode, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, for them, bhakti begins. Therefore, it is said, Adav Shraddha. And Shraddha in what? Shraddha in the name of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the qualities of the eternal qualities of the Lord and the activities at the abode of the Lord. Yes, we are all having material desires. A devotee state is, he is convinced that this material world is temporary. Like a jnani, he is convinced that this material world is temporary and full of suffering. But like a karmi, he has many material desires also to address. But the only difference between a karmi and a devotee, and a jnani and a devotee, not only does he acknowledge that I have material desires, not only does he acknowledge that everything is temporary and miserable in this world, but he has only one extra quality, and that is faith in the inconceivable spiritual nature, which happens by the Lord's or his pure devotee's mercy. This Shraddha is given by a pure devotee of the Lord, that Krishna is a person. So Adav Shraddha, that bhakti begins with this faith that Krishna is there. But at the same time, then the desires which are there in our heart, it puts him into deep repentance. Every time that desire comes up, he curses himself. He says, oof. He engages in material activity. Because he has a material body, it has to be addressed. The needs have to be addressed. But deep inside, there is a sense of guilt. What am I doing? How much time I am wasting? But I have to do it. What can I do? These desires are there. But gradually purify by just doing whatever is necessary to maintain the body and soul, and rest of the energy to be used positively. How? Don't worry about going back to Godhead. By giving this knowledge to others. Use your intelligence how to give this to others. Use your mind in keep always thinking of Krishna, and use your senses in acting for Krishna. Then gradually those material desires also get cleansed. And the indifference to the material world, which is because of jnana, stands prominent. So that indifference naturally comes. That's why bhakti is highest, because it includes the indifference of jnani. And it includes the acknowledgement of a karmi that I have material desires. But I am addressing it. At least I am working at it. And there it also includes that of a yogi. He acknowledges the Lord is in the heart and I actually surrender to him. But the one extra thing is he positively engages in devotional service. That is bhakti. Bhakti means devotional service. So we may say we don't have this quality. Even after coming to devotional service, we find priya, apriya. We are not equal to everyone. Priyam, we are not dear to everyone, nor is everyone dear to us. Some are not dear. Better keep a respectful distance. And Suhrud, we are well-wishing friend to whomever we like, and not so well-wishing friend to others. How is it? Because what we are doing is not pure devotional service. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shochati na kaangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Na shochati na kaangshati. Shochati means tamoguna, kaangshati means rajoguna. Because we are still inflicted by the lower modes, at least we understand that there is something like pure devotional service. But intellectually, at least we can try. No. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini sunichaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshinah. Gradually that jnana will come. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitah janayati ashu. Very soon, kramenaiva, but gradually. How can you say gradually and still very soon? Materialistically speaking, it is very gradual. Sorry, spiritually speaking, it's actually happening fast. But to our material mind, since time immemorial, we have cultivated this knowledge and attachments. What's happening is very soon, in one lifetime, 2-3 years. But we think it should happen very, very quickly. No, gradually. But it's not gradual. Compared to the millions of lifetimes you have wasted, one little few years of devotional service is ashu. Very soon. From Krishna's time scale. From our time scale, I have chanted 16 rounds. My God, 4 rounds, 5. Now devotion should come out in our heart. Janayati ashu vairagyam jnanam chayad ahaitukam. Then you see the way Krishna sees. this world. That means everything is positive. Everything is positive. Materially neutral, but spiritually everything is positive. That is Yukta Vairagya. Materially, it's neutral. He's not favorable. But spiritually positive, meaning just like when Krishna descends, materially, it seems that he is variating or acting differently. But spiritually, he is equal. Everyone is benefiting. Even the fellow who kills is benefited, and to others. But there is another positive point of Krishna, and that is yeyatha mam prapadyante. Because Krishna is a person, he has emotions. He is a person. Yeyatha mam prapadyante. If you come to me this way, I'll reciprocate like that. If you come to me like that, I'll reciprocate like that. So in that sense, also Krishna is equal. Just like Prabhupada explains, two examples he gives. One is a father, a millionaire father. He's charitably disposed to every living entity, but he is very, very favorable to his own son. Like that. So in this way, neutrality comes gradually in terms of our body. Indifference to the material and gross and subtle body. A devotee develops indifference to his material, gross and subtle bodies. But he develops positive things in regard to the soul. So this is the way we can balance. Because Krishna doesn't have a material body at all, everything is positive for him. Hare Krishna. I don't know whether it was... My mind is very restless today, so my thoughts were also very going from jumping from one branch to the other like a monkey. I hope it made some sense to all of you. Hare Krishna. I tried to put it down in an order, but if the mind itself is disorderly, even the order becomes disorderly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I won't dare ask a question because it's already late. And the yogis are looking at me with staring eyes.